Let's go straight out to the HR&P guest line, being joined by the wizard of the NFL, Howard Balzer, Pro Football Hall of Fame voter. Howard, we were just having the conversation about Tom Brady. I think Brady's going to come back because everybody's saying that he shouldn't come back. I think it's going to fire Tom Brady up. Where do you think he plays? What are some likely destinations for Thomas Brady in his mid-40s?
Yeah, that's a good question in terms of likely, because we can certainly list a lot of them. But I kind of chuckle when I hear, I think it was being said on the broadcast Monday, well, you know, if he goes out, well, he will be a free agent, but if he doesn't re-sign with the Bucks, let's say, and he says, if he goes out there in the market, boy, there's going to be a lot of teams. And I'm thinking to myself, there weren't a lot of teams a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. There weren't teams lining up at his door for his services. I mean, the two teams that were basically interested were the Bucks and the Chargers. And so, and who knows, the Bucks might not have been interested had Jameis Winston not thrown whatever it was, 30 interceptions, you know, the season before. And so, you know, some people have thrown out San Francisco, but why would the 49ers do that? They don't need Tom Brady to be a really good team. So I don't know about that. There's this thing being thrown out there that, you know, maybe Sean Payton will bring Tom Brady with him to Carolina. I certainly wouldn't rule that out by any stretch. But, you know, if Sean Payton does that, then he also knows that in a year or two he's going to have to be looking for a new quarterback. That's not to say they couldn't find one. But I just wonder if he wants to go somewhere with a younger quarterback in place to build around. But a lot of those places aren't there for him either. And so, man, I mean, I don't know if there is the obvious likely place for him to land. That doesn't mean there aren't teams looking for quarterbacks. But are they looking for a quarterback that's going to be 46 next year? And while he can still throw the football, Is he the same guy? No, he certainly isn't. Can you win with him? Yes, with the right team around him, with around you. And I think that's going to be what drives his decision on what to do, because I don't think he wants to slog through another very disappointing season.
Look at Vegas. He's got everything you're talking about. Assuming they work out something with Jacobs, and you got Waller, and you got Adams, you got a coach that's desperately trying to save his butt. And he knows him better than anybody, and they've worked together in the past, and they're looking for a bridge to get him to whoever's going to be their long-term solution, but to get McDaniel's butt out of the fire and kind of save this generation of the Raiders in their new city. It makes too much sense to me, even if he is a bridge, and for him, because he's got all the weaponry in the world to make it work.
That's a great call. No question about it. It's a great call, and obviously, wherever he goes, he's going to be a bridge. And so, but that one, especially when you had an owner in Mark Davis, who weirdly at the end of the season was complaining about, you know, being all these fans from other cities at his games. Well, what did he think was going to be the case in Vegas? I mean, you had to believe that going in. Well, this could be a way to keep a lot of those people there that are the Raiders fans, you know, in that market. And you're right, with Davante Adams, probably have to get Josh Jacobs signed, but you know that's a team that's pretty good. And then of course the obvious connection is that Josh McDaniels is the head coach, and he was the coordinator there, obviously, in New England for a lot of those years that Brady was there. So that one almost, now that you mentioned that, and I should have come up with it, that's the one that probably makes the most sense of anything. And yet I haven't heard that many rumblings about it, which is kind of odd. But hey. Anything can happen in this league. We know that during the year, in the offseason, whatever it might be. But that one definitely checks a lot of the right boxes.
Howard, Sean Payton's the biggest name in this coaching carousel, but it comes at a cost. He himself, Sean Payton, is saying the requirement to trade for the services of Sean Payton is a mid to late first. All the reports say first-round draft pick. How much is a coach worth? Sean Payton versus the rest of the coaching carousel, is he worth a first rounder?
I believe he definitely is. And it's for this reason. Because now there's no guarantees in life at all. And there's never a guarantee even with a coach. But there's a heck of a lot better chance to win with a guy who's done it for 15 years and has been successful. And then getting a newbie who's never been a head coach before. And so if you give up a first round, I mean, we know first round picks are a crapshoot. I don't, you know, you hear everyone say, oh, you know, you can't give up an elite player. You can't give up this. That's one guy. That's one guy of the 48 that you're going to run out there on Sundays. And granted, one player can obviously tremendously help a franchise. No doubt about it. But so can Sean Payton and being that coach. And I went back, guys, and looked. I went back a few more years than just the most recent because the jury's still out a little bit on the last three or four seasons. From 2016 to 2018, and I just looked at the first five picks in the draft, not, much less all the ones after that. And one of the reasons I look at the top five, because here in Arizona where I am, people are saying, well, we shouldn't give up a number three pick for Sean Payton, and but that could be an elite guy and all that. Well, out of the first five picks in each of those three drafts, that's 15 players, only five of them are currently with the team that drafted them.
Wow.
So, five of 15 are with the current team. And so that doesn't mean you might hit the guy that will be with your team. But if you do your job right in personnel acquisition, one player shouldn't be the one that either makes you really good or doesn't. And like I said, I'm not saying that one guy can't help a team tremendously. Obviously, we can list a lot of examples that, you know, where it happens. But like I said, the head coach that's coming in who runs things the way he wants, knows what he's doing, and communicates with the personnel side, and has been very successful. It doesn't mean you still don't win every year. I mean, heck, they had years 3 years in a row with Drew Brees where they went 7-9 and weren't in the postseason. That happens. It happens to teams. It's hard in this league. It's not that much difference between winning 7 and winning 10. But he also went to the playoffs a whole bunch of times, and that to me is definitely worth a first-round draft pick.
What does it say, Howard, about Ben Johnson if we were hoping that he was the number one candidate the Texans looked at? That a lot of people looked at what he did and how innovative he was and what he had to work with in Detroit and said he should be a head coach, he should be a guy, he could be a guy that could lead a young quarterback in a franchise, and now he says he's staying with the Lions. Is it more that he saw something he didn't like, or is it more that maybe he wasn't as ready as he thought he was, or was it that he was realistic in his comments that he thought the best place for him and that he liked what he was doing was in Detroit?
I think that's a big part of it. And I think it's very hard for a guy in that position to make a conscious decision to take yourself out of the running. Now, maybe he didn't think he was really going to get the job, but you know, you never know along those lines. But you also, when you're in that position, you know that you probably have one shot at this, being a head coach. Because if you fail, then, and it's a lot of times it's not on the coach for failure, but that's the way it's perceived. If the team doesn't win, and also knowing that they're going to move on probably maybe after 1 or 2 years and not really give you a chance to develop all those players that you need to be successful, you want to pick the right spot, whether it's the team with where you're comfortable with the personnel department, the owner, the quarterback, whatever it might be. You want it to be right. And I believe in a lot of these situations with Eric Bieniemy, and he's obviously the poster person for not getting a job and all the interviews he's had. I think there's some of them that he probably didn't even really want because he's got a great situation with the Chiefs. And granted, you want to be a head coach. There's no doubt about it. But you can be there with the Chiefs and making good money and with Patrick Mahomes, and that's a great situation to be in. So, again, you want to pick the right spot. I go back many, many years, guys, and I remember there's been other examples of this, but the one that jumps out at me is Mike Holmgren. When he was with the 49ers, and he was in a similar situation as Bieniemy because he wasn't the coordinator because Bill Walsh was the head coach. He was the quarterback's coach. And he was getting a bunch of interviews, and the Jets were ready to hire him, and he just didn't feel it was the right fit, and he turned it down, and he stayed with the 49ers and then ended up with Green Bay with Brett Favre and Ron Wolf as the GM. That's going to the right situation where you have a chance. Even in the right situation with all those things going on, it's still hard to win, but it's even much obviously more difficult when you don't have the quarterback or you don't have the really quality personnel staff or an owner who's truly committed. Then it gets even harder. And so but it's tough because everyone says, well, there's only 32 of them. If you got an offer, you got to do it. Well, that offer might look pretty good, but after 2 years, you might be regretting that you made that decision.
Yeah, that's my fear from a Houston Texans perspective, is that you have Benny Johnson that's looking at that Texans job and saying, eh, I'm good. I'll wait a year. I'd rather be the Detroit OC. I'd rather wait for a new job to pop up in a year from now. I don't think it's a great look for the Texans organization. Howard, we always appreciate the time. Great stuff as always. Look forward to doing it again.
Yep, we definitely do. And like I said, certainly a guy looks at it and says they've just fired a coach after 1 year.
True.
Twice in a row. And so that raises red flags with guys. And that's what the Texans have got themselves into with what they've done.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Howard Balzer. Yeah, Howard Balzer, the wizard of the NFL. What are the looming questions for the Houston Astros? And I'm starting to think that Sean Payton has the Houston Texans third on his list. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.